Who's responsible?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Yesterday, the current and former heads of Hewlett-Packard testified before Congress. Lawmakers want to get to the bottom of the HP spying scandal. This all began with Hewlett-Packard trying to find out who was leaking information from the boardroom. To get answers, private detectives spied on journalists and HP directors. Former company chairwoman Patricia Dunn was asked if she accepted responsibility.
I do not accept personal responsibility for what happened.
Okay.
I am very sorry for
what happened.
Okay, Mr. Chairman,
I think she's basically saying she's not culpable here and she accepts no responsibility for what occurred.
Congressman Edward Markey is a Democrat from Massachusetts. He expressed his frustration about what he sees as a change in the nation's business climate.
You used to ask a company chieftain, who does your PR? Who does your advertising? Now, do we have to add the question, so who does your spying?
10 HP officials refused to testify and asserted Fifth Amendment rights. Some of the journalists and board members HP was probing must have had accounts with Verizon Wireless. Yesterday, that company sued 20 data brokers for pretexting. Verizon called it using fraud, trickery, and deceit to access confidential customer information. The company didn't name the individuals, but said they were hired directly or indirectly by HP to get private phone records. Sony has lost more power in the battery market. Yesterday, IBM and Lenovo decided to yank more than 500,000 batteries from ThinkPad notebooks. And Toshiba announced today it's recalling 830,000 Sony batteries from its laptops. Marketplace's Brian Watt reports.
Some 7 million batteries recalled and counting. Sony has told companies to pull any that cause concern. IBM's recall and earlier ones from Apple and Dell were about the risk the cartridges could catch fire. Toshiba has been worried that some batteries simply don't work. Sandia National Lab scientist Dan Dowdy says battery makers face a trade-off between safety and battery capacity. Right now, capacity is winning.
Market forces reward the companies that have the longest runtime on your iPod or your PC. And it might be worthwhile to have a little bit less energy at a little higher margin of safety.
Sony has agreed to pick up most of the cost of the recall. I'm Brian Watt for Marketplace.
You may have seen the Smiling Bob commercials on television. All of them concern a natural male enhancement product called Insight. Did you ever wonder if it was a fake? Well, the company that makes it has been accused of mail, wire, and bank fraud. The owner and five top executives pled not guilty yesterday. Berkeley Premium Nutraceuticals is accused of luring customers with free trial offers and money-back guarantees, then billing their credit cards without notification, without authorization. The alleged scam could have netted the company at least $100 million. Thursday was a good day for the Dow, which had its second highest close on record. The Dow was up 29 points at 11,718. The Nasdaq rose 6 points at 2270. And the S&P was up 2 points to 1339. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei climbed 102 points, or 0.6%. This is Marketplace. There's a threat to Bangalore status as India's IT capital. Miranda Kennedy reports.
A 1994 law requiring kids to be educated in the local Kannada language has been widely ignored. Now the state government is getting tough. More than 100,000 students currently taught in English will have to switch to schools that teach in the local language. Almost 2,000 English language schools will be closed down. But many protest that English is the lingua franca of the information technology industry. S. Sadagopan is the head of a technology university in Bangalore.
Because Bangalore is known for job creation, known for technology, English language is an absolute necessity.
The last thing Bangalore needs, Sadagopan says, is a future scarcity of the English speakers so crucial to the city's well-being. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. By The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. You may have heard the saying that you have to live the blues to play the blues. That doesn't seem to apply to Richard Johnston. The singer does pretty well for himself in a genre started by poor black plantation workers. Marketplace's Sean Cole has a story.
First off, he sings, plays guitar, and kicks on the drums with his feet all at the same time, which is actually the old meaning of the phrase one-man band. This is him at a blues festival back in July. But Johnston's also learned to do practically every job in the music industry by himself, too. And he has a business plan that he says will gross him almost $250,000 next year.
What?
That's right, $240,000 for about 4 months touring. The seeds of this plan were planted on Beale Street in Memphis, where Johnston started busking in the late 90s.
Beale Street was sort of like the rule revealed to you. The rule is repetitive exposure to a variety of people. Well, Beale Street was like a major festival every weekend.
On good nights, he could pull down $2,000 as a street musician. But he didn't just ask people for money.
I used to collect email addresses.
And when you make that kind of direct connection with fans, Johnston says, they stick with you. Eventually, he got himself an agent who booked his club and festival shows, maybe 40 a year. But then Johnston fired him, realized he could book himself, charge more, and keep all the money. He even talks about it like an industry rep.
It ran well. It was fiduciary for everybody involved. The purchasers were actually happier, and I doubled my income and then in one stroke. So assuming responsibility in this new world is really what a musician has to struggle with.
Last year, though, a bunch of Beale Street merchants took away Johnston's cash cow, limiting the hours for busking. To make the same money, he figured he'd have to triple his festival appearances. But even he wouldn't be able to do that much booking on his own.
So it came to me. Almost in a dream. I woke up. I was sweaty.
He had a plan. Instead of playing one show at a three-day festival, he'd play all 3 days. And he'd sit to the side of the stage and interact directly with the crowd.
Just like I used to do back on Beale Street.
If Beale Street was like a festival, he'd make the festivals more like Beale Street. He'd charge $3,000 and make another $3,000 or so in CD sales. $6,000, 40 festivals, $240,000. Not much to Madonna, but he doesn't want to be Madonna. He just wants a life.
I've said, I'm going to have health care insurance. I'm going to have a home to live in. I'm going to make enough money to send my kids to college. And really, that is just a dream come true for 80% of us musicians out here.
But if all your dreams come true, does that mean you can still sing the blues? Well, to quote Richard Johnston,
shake what you got, baby.
I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.